Morning, everyone. It's good to see everyone. And last night, actually, we had a good time here having dinner, and also was able to talk quite freely, to have a very flowing discussion about the sanctity of life and talking about abortion, euthanasia, and things like that. That basically concerning life. Because while that life still remains, there is still the opportunity to hear the gospel. While that life is still here in this world, it has opportunity to understand the gospel and to respond to the gospel. That's why as believers, we always want to preserve life and not kill life. Because life is actually in the ownership of God. God owns it, and God wants to protect it, because God has no desire, has no pleasure in the death of a wicked. He wants all men to be saved and come to salvation. Because when you cross that door of death, you are entering into a place, depending on how you enter, in a place that you may not want to be there. And that's the place we want to talk about today. Let's pray. Lord, we commit this time to your hands. Lord, every time we stand here and speak, we are with fear and trembling, because we know that this is a place where you use this pulpit to speak to the congregations. And we pray that, Lord, all the hearts here today will be focused and be willing, Lord, to listen to what you have to say about this place, hell, that we're going to mention and we're going to talk about, we're going to think about. And we just pray that, Lord, you will help us to be able to understand why it was even existed, why it was even necessary to have that place. Lord, we just pray that, Lord, you will open our eyes and open our ears towards you. Pray in your precious name. Amen. You know that I have been going to Bible places, and we have started at Garden Eden, and we went to Mount Ararat. We talk about Adam and Eve, and we went to Noah. And then I have decided later on that we're not going to follow in chronological order of the Bible. And we went to Nineveh, and we talk about the interrupted journeys of Jonah. And we talk about also Paul and his interrupted journey on the road to Damascus. Today we're going to talk about hell. Why was hell even necessary to mention? Because it was actually a very real place. It is a real place in the Bible. In fact, it was so real that Jesus, more than any other New Testament speakers or writers, spoke about hell more often than others. So it is really a necessary place that we need to mention. I know that hell is a place that many of us may have different ideas what it actually is. We all have different thinking about what constitutes hell. And we're going to talk about it afterwards from the scriptures. You know, the world today is so easily influenced by social media and even movies and YouTube videos and so forth. And a lot of people think that when men die, there's all there is. There's nothing after a person dies. They just like a lamb that has been snuffed out. It's like a candle that has been put off. It's like nothing. When you die, that's it. That's why many years ago there was a series of movie called Final Destinations. I'm not sure whether any of you have heard of it. I don't suggest you go and watch it, because it is actually horror movies. But in these horror movies, this series of movies, the or let's say the enemy or the antagonist, they're actually not any monsters or aliens or evil people with claws and try to catch you or things like that. The so-called the monster in those movies was actually death itself. Talk about a group of people that have escaped death, and eventually one by one they all got killed by some amazing and terrible circumstances. As if they all each met their final destinations. But that is quite wrong, because death is only a door by which when we enter through and we enter into another realm. And depending on how we enter through that door, we may end up in heaven or we may end up in this place called hell that I will talk about. Because hell and heaven is our true final destination, not death itself. Death is but a door. That is but the door that we pass through and that we enter into hell or into heaven. Hell is not a pleasant topic, and I believe that many churches today have already stopped speaking about hell, because it is not something that is pleasant to even mention. A famous writer called C.S. Lewis said, "There is no doctrine which," he said, "I would more willingly remove from Christianity than this, which is hell." What he says is that there are all the doctrines of the Bible. If I had power to remove one of them, then I will remove the doctrine about hell. But then he said, but it has the full support of the scriptures. The doctrine of hell has the full support of the scriptures, and especially our Lord's own words. He said Jesus mentioned it, and Jesus mentioned it many times. If that's the case, then it must be very important for us to think about and to mention it too. To understand what hell is and why it's actually even needed, we have to go back to the very beginning. We'll go back to the Garden of Eden again. Remember that God was the creator of heaven and earth. Then he put man in the garden. He created man according to his own likeness, his own image. Why? Because he wanted to have fellowship. He wanted man to love him. He wanted man to walk with him. He wanted man to have fellowship with him. But he did not force man to do that. He still gave man the freedom, the will to choose whether they want to continue doing that, continue to walk with him and love him, or they want to go another way, or they want to go a way that is independent of him and no longer walking with him. So man has a choice to do that. And we all knew terrible choice that they had made. They had made a choice to say that, no, I want to be like him. I want to be as good, as strong as him. I do not need to be walking with him or talking to him or love him. So they want to live a life that's independent of God. And that was the decision that they made. And we knew that, how terrible that decision was. Remember, God was holy. God was righteous. A holy and righteous God cannot tolerate sins. Adam and Eve was cast away from the Garden of Eden, never to return. No longer they have that freedom to approach God. God did look for them. They were hiding away from God because they were afraid. But in the end, God had to cast them out of the Garden of Eden. They can no longer walk with God, talk with God, and have a relationship with God like it was in the very beginning when they were created. Because sins separated them. And later on, we saw how that sin developed. Adam and Eve had children, and then one of them got murdered by one of his own. And then sin developed until the time of Noah. We saw that every imagination that man has was all wickedness, and God had wiped them all out. Today, all of us, we were born. We were born with that sinful nature that we inherited from Adam. Romans 3:23 say that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Do you know that if we remain in this state, if we remain in the state that we were born in, that means that we are sinful and we are not in fellowship with God. That we want to go our own way and do not want God to have any part in our life. Now, if we remain in that state, when we pass through the door of death, we certainly, most certainly, will enter into a place called hell. I want to quote C.S. Lewis again. He said there are two kinds of people in the end. There are those who say to God, "Thy will be done." And there will be those whom God will say to, in the end, "Thy will be done." You understand that? There are two kinds of people. One wanted God's will be done. And there's another group of people who wanted their own will to be done. And God will allow them to make that choice. God will say to them, "Your will be done." And for those who want to insist on their own way, insist on their own will, they will end up in a place called hell when they pass through that door of death. I think it's very important for us to really look at the scriptures and see how the Bible describes hell. Let's look at what the Lord Jesus said first. Can we turn to Mark chapter 9? Mark chapter 9 verse 43 to 48. There are many, many scriptures in the New Testament that Jesus has mentioned hell, but we can only selectively choose a few. And I really challenge you to go to the scripture and to find out all the other scriptures that Jesus has talked about hell. Chapter 9, verse 43. I'll read. "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed, rather than having two hands to go to hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worms does not die, and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame, rather than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worms does not die, and the fire is not quenched. And if your eyes causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire, where their worms does not die, and the fire is not quenched." Can you see how serious this matter about hell is, that Jesus had to repeat it three times, emphasizing the same aspect of this hell? That the fire is not quenched and the worm does not die. He has to repeat it three times. You know that when I was study Bible with some other older people, and they tell me that when the Bible mentioned it twice, you have to pay special attention to it. But here, Bible mentioned it three times. That means that it is really, really important. And I really hope that I can drum this into your heart and to understand that this issue about hell, it is something that is real, something that is important, and that's why Jesus has to mention it and emphasize it. Matthew 25. Can we go to Matthew 25? Verse 41 to 46. We know this scripture is quite famous and many of us have read it before, talking about Jesus judging the nations and then the sheep and the goat, that he has different questions for them and also had different response to them. And from verse 41 to 46 is basically the judgment that he has pronounced on the goat, which are the people who say they want to do his will, but did not. Verse 41, then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And those who go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now here, Jesus mentioned about those who did not do his will be thrown into everlasting fire, and they will go into everlasting punishment. So we can hear again the second thing about this hell. Not only is it a real place, but it's a place that also has eternal consequences. And he mentioned eternal punishment. We now look at another scripture that is very famous in Luke chapter 16. It's a parable that Jesus told about the rich man and Lazarus. Many of us have read this parable before. We knew that the rich man who was very rich and Lazarus very poor, the rich man sometimes may throw some crumbs out to the street and then Lazarus will live by that. And one day, both of them die. And the rich man was in the area of Hades. That is, he was being tormented. He feel hot and he feel dry and he feel very uncomfortable. But then he saw across a gulf that there was Lazarus, the beggar who always begged before his house. And Lazarus was with Abraham. And Lazarus looked like he was in a place of comfort, place of rest. And the rich man wanting Lazarus to come over and give him some water. But unfortunately, there was a big gulf that they both cannot cross. Let us read from verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. That's what I already mentioned. Now, let's go to verse 27. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, he spoke to Father Abraham, that you would send him to my father's house, for For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to them, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. There is suddenly a picture that Jesus was pointing to his own resurrection from the dead. If they do not listen to the teachings of Moses and the prophets in the Old Testament, neither will they listen to the teaching of mine. And I will rise from the dead, and I will share, but they will not listen. So we have another picture of hell here. It's a place of torment. It's a place that they cannot escape. Once you're in there, you cannot leave as you wish. This rich man was worried about his brothers because he knew that his brothers are living a life exactly like he was living before he died. He knew that if he ended up there, all his brothers will end up there with him as well. But he realized that he could not leave that place. Neither would anyone else come and help him. And he was earnestly trying to persuade Abraham to send someone, to send Lazarus or anyone rise from the dead, to go and tell his brothers. Unfortunately, they will have the opportunity while they are still living. And if they will not listen to the word of the prophets, to the words in the Old Testament, all the warnings, then neither will they listen to someone who rise from the dead. Let's now look at the words of Paul concerning this. In 2 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, here Paul talks about the final judgment and the glory of God that will be revealed in the last days. I will read from verse 7, second part of verse 7. When the Lord Jesus revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and of those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This shall be punished with everlasting destructions from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. When He comes in that day to be glorified in His saints and to be admired among those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Now here Paul mentions about something that is very important here. He said, for those who do not obey the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. So we can see that, again, there's another aspect to hell. What was that aspect? The aspect that hell is far, far away from the presence of God and from His glory. So we have learned that hell is eternal. Hell is tormenting. Hell is something that you cannot escape from if you, once you're in there. And also hell is a place where God's presence will not be felt. God's presence will not be known. Paul said, far away from the presence of God and from His glory. I have mentioned in the very beginning that we were created in the image of God. We were created after His own likeness. That is meant we were made in the image of God in order to enjoy Him and to have fellowship with Him. But if we are far, far away from the presence of God, then how can we have any satisfaction about our own life? But today, many people were able to live their life totally independent from God. Some of them even turn up in church from time to time. They may come to church, they may have an outward appearance of being a religious person. But once they left church, their life go back to the normal day-to-day thing. No Bible reading, no prayer, no fellowship with other believers. Come Sunday again, they'll turn up in church again. But inwardly, they have no life. They have no relationship with God. If they continue in that way, then eventually God will say to them, "Thy will be done." They will be forever separated from God in a place called hell, where there is eternal torment. Revelation chapter 20. Here it records the final judgment and what will happen at the end of the judgment. Revelation chapter 20. We know this was written by the Apostle John in the prophecy of the last days. Verse 11 to verse 15. "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave out the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Just now in Luke, we mentioned that Lazarus and the rich man went to Hades. They went to a place awaiting for this judgment of the great white throne. And in the last days, when the judgment of the great white throne is being established, death and Hades will deliver up all the dead that were in them. Lazarus and the rich man will both stand before God in the judgment of the great white throne. And if their name was not written in the book of life, they will be thrown into a place called the lake of fire. And that is truly the final destination of those who have rejected God. Brothers and sisters, the world today is really a terrible, frightening place. Last night, Vicky mentioned about an incident that happened in China recently. And it's certainly an incident that shook many people to the core, because we can never realize how evil man can be. There was a young girl who was molested by one of his teachers before, and she was very, very, very sad about that, and tried to complain, but the teacher had some powerful backing, so she went nowhere with her complaints. She got so upset, she decided to kill herself. She had tried it once, but she was delivered out of that attempt by a fireman who came and saved her. This was the second time she attempted. She sat on the edge of the building, and she was looking down, also looking at her own phone. She was probably on social media. The people waiting down there, they got impatient. And they were screaming at her, saying, "Jump, jump, why are you waiting so long? Why you want us to wait so long? Why don't you jump?" And I believe in the social media, people were texting to her, "Are you the one sitting on the edge of that building now? Why don't you jump?" This is the world today. the people who encourage her to jump, these are the people who are already in hell. They are already living in a hellish life without God. They rejoice in the death of others' innocence. Their heart has no sympathy. Their heart has no love. To me, they are already in hell. The fireman who saved that girl before came again. He was the only one allowed to approach that girl. And he was actually able to grab hold of her hand. He said, "Don't do it." But the girl in the end made her own decision, shook off his hands and said, "Thank you, brother, I have to go." And she jumped. And the video of that girl jumping from the tower straight away spread through all the internet, as if it's some exciting sort of movies that people share with one another. That is the world today, we live in today. These people, unless they repent, they will end up in the final destination called the lake of fire, or hell itself. But we don't have to be there. Now, when I read that news, my heart not only feels sorry for the girl, but I also feel very sorry for those people who are screaming at her. Because these are the very people that Jesus came to save. You know, if you look at our own life, you actually look into it and examine your own heart, you'll know that it is a wicked, wicked heart. It is a heart wanting our own way, our own will, rather than God's. And if you have that same realization, then you want to have God in your life. You want to have Jesus to really wash you, cleanse you, and transform you. And Jesus did come to do that. He did came and He did die for you and I on the cross. He even went to hell to proclaim the victory before He rise again on the third day. He did all that so that you don't have to go there. Do you know that of the millions of people, billions of people who end up in hell, unless they have a transformed life, just taking them out of hell into heaven, I don't think that they will really enjoy that. They'd rather be in hell. Because they live a life that is away from God. Just taking them out from hell to heaven will not give them any joy at all. The only joy that you can feel when you're in heaven is because you're already enjoying that relationship with God before you went there. You enjoy a relationship walking with God, talking with God, and enjoying His presence. So when you go to heaven, you won't feel bored because you are going to have a great time fellowshipping and loving the one that has given His life for you. Brothers and sisters, it is very, very, very important to therefore examine where you are at this moment of time. Because none of us can tell how long we got to have in this world before we enter into that door of death and enter into either heaven or hell. There was a scripture that is a warning to everyone who think that by just doing some external stuff that they can enter into the presence of Jesus. Matthew chapter 7. Can we look at Matthew chapter 7? Jesus' warning. Verse 21 to verse 23. Now everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?" And then I will declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, when Jesus said to you, I do not know you, and go away from me, it really means that your name are not written in his book of life. That means that you will end up at the great white throne judgment in the lake of fire. And that is a warning to those people who assume that they have a relationship with Jesus, but they did not have it. They thought that coming to church on Sunday, doing some of this good stuff or that bit of good deeds, that's enough to earn them a ticket to heaven. They were all wrong. Jesus said to them, I never knew you. Though you may prophesy in my name, though you may cast out demons, though you might even use my name to heal the sick, I do not know you. What a terrible words to hear from our Lord in the last days. That's why Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, he says, Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Or unless, of course, you fail the test. Test yourself. Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Now, why was Paul even think that it is necessary to say this? Because he knew. He knew that there are so many people who are in church, but yet they may not have a relationship with God. They still live a life of separation from God. And if that life of separation from God is continued when they walk through that door of death, then they will enter into a place of separation from God that is for eternity. That's why Jesus mentioned it many times. That's why all the New Testament writers talk about it. And that's why I'm talking about it today. Hell is a place that you do not want to go, because Jesus has already made every possible measures that he can make to free you from that place. And all you have to do is think about your own life. Think about, have you actually now enjoying a relationship with him? If you are, then you have no fear of ever stepping into that place called hell. Have no fear at all. Have full confidence, because he has put his life in you, and you should have no fear of hell. But at the same time, we think about those people, especially those people who cry, who scream out to that girl, say, jump, jump, jump. There are many of those people still around us. When we see them, don't just criticize them, but we actually need to share with them the gospel so that they will be free from that place called hell. There are many people we saw every single day, and some of them will pass into eternity without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is our responsibility, our duty as believers, to help them, to prevent them from ever entering into that place called hell. Only while they're still alive. We must pray to ask God to use us to do that work. Let's pray. Lord, may your Holy Spirit search our hearts and continue to speak to us even after this message has finished. I pray that, Lord, you will drum into us the importance of proclaiming your gospel, and be ready in season or out of season to give a ready defense of your word and of your salvation to all those who do not know it. Lord, may you help us, Lord, to have mercy and to be gracious to those who rejected your word and to be patient with them, for we know that they have been deceived by the evil one, who walks around like a roaring lion to devour everyone that he can devour. So I pray that, Lord, you will strengthen us and really help us, Lord, to proclaim your gospel in a powerful way to those around us. For many of us who have yet to find assurance of salvation, may you speak to them as well. Speak to them so that, Lord, they will have no doubt about where they stand before you. Help them, Lord, to test themselves. Help them, Lord, to examine themselves to see whether there's any life in them, to see that whether you are truly in them. Lord, may you help them to be fully certain and assured of your salvation. I pray in your most precious name. Amen.